Equity is the piece where everyone is provided with the tools they need to succeed at your organization, no matter what their background is or what they have, the things that they cannot control.
All right, we're back with more Future Proof. This is episode number 158, if you're counting. And I'm Bill Sheridan. I'm your host. How are you? Things good? Staying warm? Get that turkey defrosted yet? Better get it out of the freezer. Like now. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, by the way, friends. My favorite holiday of the year. Hope it's a good one for you. Lots of family and friends and food and a little time off and all kinds of stuff to be grateful for. And there is always all kinds of stuff to be grateful for. And today, I'm grateful for all of you. So happy, happy Thanksgiving. Let's get things kicked off this week with this, shall we? This week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. All right, so this week we're focusing on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Pretty big deal in our profession right now. And my guest is going to shed some light on all of it for us. She is Crystal Cook. Crystal is Director of Diversity and Inclusion for the American Institute of CPAs. And we're talking this week about where our profession stands today, what's happening now, you know, what else needs to be done going forward. We'll get to that conversation in just a moment. First, there's this. I had the privilege, really an honor of sorts, of attending the recent celebration of the Black CPA Centennial. So this was a culmination of a nearly year-long celebration of the 100th anniversary of John W. Cromwell Jr., who became the nation's first Black CPA in 1921. And let me tell you, talk about inspiring. I mean, it was a testament to the struggles and injustices that our profession's first Black members went through, and really their perseverance and strength in continuing to follow their passions and advocate for their rights and this profession as well. So, who was it? I think it was Johnny Clark. So Ralph Thomas, who is the CEO of the New Jersey Society of CPAs, and by the way, the first and still the only Black CEO of a state CPA society, he conducted a series of interviews with five of the profession's earliest Black CPAs, and Johnny Clark was one of them. And this woman, just one of the great leaders in this profession. She was dean of the Atlanta University Graduate School of Business, a founding member of the Georgia affiliate of the American Women's Society of CPAs. I mean, we could go on and on, but at one point in her interview, she said how, like, on, I think it was on one of her first job interviews, once the people interviewing her saw her face and her dress, she said she knew she had no shot at the job. That's the kind of environment that a lot of our earliest Black and female CPAs had to endure. But anyway, during the celebration, she said something else that really stuck with me. She said, quote, "I'm hoping there will someday be so many more minority CPAs that we won't be making a distinction between them and other CPAs. We'll just be talking about CPAs," end quote. And man, amen to that, right? It really was a great celebration, and it culminated with some remarks from former MACPA and AICPA chair Kimberly Ellison Taylor, who she chairs the AICPA's National Commission on Diversity and Inclusion. And what she said was really a call to arms, not just for today's newest generation of minority CPAs, but for all of us, really. She said, quote, "You are indeed our next generation of leaders. I expect that among you, there are those who will multiply and elevate the messages you heard here today. We must go out and help influence the next generation of leaders to let them know that our profession has so many possibilities. If not you, then who? If not now, then when? Your assignment is to go out and ensure that we are inspiring the next generation. You can and you will because we did, end quote. And so here we are, a profession trying to fight that fight. And right there on the front lines is my guest this week, Crystal Cook, Director of Diversity and Inclusion for the AICPA. She took that role in February of 2020, right before George Floyd and Eric Garner and Tamir Rice and Breonna Taylor and, you know, all the other incidents from 2020 that kind of brought these social issues directly into the spotlight. So we talked a bit about what it was like to come into that job in that type of environment. And then we took a closer look at our profession itself, how far we've come in the areas of diversity and inclusion, how far we still have to go, and what each of us individually can do to help us get there. So a really great conversation about an important issue at an important time. Here is my conversation with Crystal Cook. So, Crystal, thanks for being here. Now, am I right in saying February 2020, you took this role? Is that right?
Yes, right before the pandemic hit.
Welcome aboard.
And right before all the challenges of 2020 started. Yes, that is when I started with the association.
Which, regardless of the pandemic and all that, I mean, that time in and of itself seems to be a time when, you know, diversity and inclusion was really kind of gaining momentum as a strategy, it seems to me, not only in our profession, but in the business world in general, but also mm-hmm. right before we started hearing about all these other social issues emerging, George Floyd and Eric Garner and Breonna Taylor and all the rest. And so I guess I'm kind of curious, what was that like to kind of take on this role in this profession at that particular time?
Yeah, if I'm being honest, it was a extremely heavy time. I mean, not only was it heavy on me as a DEI professional, but I also have two sons who are Black, and their father is a police officer. Mm-hmm. And so I was afraid for all of them. Like every time they all left the house, I was paranoid and all that. And so it was just a hard time and emotionally draining. And I was having hard conversations at home with my kids and helping them understand it all with my husband. And then trying to talk to people at work and help them understand. And it was just mentally exhausting. But I tell people that, you know, having said all that, there's a saying that you can't change anything without some degree of disruption, I think is the saying. And mm-hmm. even though there was a lot of disruption in 2020, it caused all this exhaustion. It was a good exhaustion to me, because as a DEI professional, you want people knocking down your doors and blowing up your email so that they can figure out how to better implement diversity and inclusion in their workplaces and do all these things. And that's exactly what happened as a result of 2020. I mean, I hate the way it happened, and no lives should ever be lost. But it invigorated people. And then there was this new heightened interest and demand for change, and people weren't accepting anything less, and they were starting to make movements. And so it was, I guess if there was a silver lining out of all of that for us, that's what I would say.
A lot
how
of,
it worked out.
Well, yeah. And you said it, I mean, just a lot of conversations, right? And, and it seems like often change is kind of born out of that type of thing. People stopping and realizing and asking questions and having those conversations.
And asking the right questions, and people were being brave. So many courageous conversations were happening, and people were listening to each other, and it was just good. It was good movement in the right direction.
How did all that kind of convergence accelerate your agenda at the AICPA, if at all?
Yeah, well, it's funny, because when I came into this role, I had all these outreach plans. I was going to, you know, start reaching out to firms one by one, introducing myself, kind of walking them through, you know, why DEI is important and letting them know that we had all these resources. And I had to do none of that. I mean, firms, state societies, everyone started reaching out to me, and they on their own, and which was refreshing and nice, and it made it so much easier. And I didn't have to make one outreach call. I still have it. I mean, I'm still talking to people on a regular basis. So it hasn't accelerated my agenda. Yes, in the fact that I don't have to do any selling, and I'm quoting selling because everything we do is free, but for our members, but I didn't have to do any of that. I mean, all that came to me. And so, but our agenda overall remains the same as it has been for years, which is to working to encourage and promote DEI within the CPA profession. And so that's what we've been doing all along. We've already had a bunch of resources that we were creating in this DEI space for our members. And we were just happy that we were able to respond right away and help people on their journeys while they were, you know, had the momentum to keep going. We could help steer them in the right direction. So,
right. Tell me, you know, when it comes to this profession in particular, what makes this a fight worth fighting, right? What makes right. this an issue that's kind of crucial to our profession and its future in particular?
Yeah. So on our website, we have this video that I love, and I show it on a lot of state societies have probably seen it. I think I have seen a few people from Maryland on there who I've shown it to, I think. And it's called Is Everyone Present and Accounted For? Is the name of the video. And it talks about how the world's population is changing. And by 2045, minorities are expected to become the majority. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if organizations don't reflect the diversity of the world around them, they're basically going to get left behind. And so I'm hearing employees, especially younger generations, they're looking for employers with diverse workforces. Like, they aren't accepting anything less. And clients are demanding that the firms that they engage with even have diverse teams. And so people could start losing business if they can't show that they have diversity as a value. And so things like this, I mean, that kind of thing is important. I also think about it like each person interprets things and interacts based on their own unique, their identity, their culture, their personal experiences. If we're all similar and we're all have the same similar experiences, how is there going to be diversity of thought? I mean, how will that advance productivity? It won't. Things are going to eventually come to a stalemate. You're not going to be as productive as the next company that does have all that diversity of thought. And so I will say, working with our National Commission on Diversity and Inclusion, I am the vice chair, and our chair is Kimberly Ellison Taylor, who I know Maryland is very familiar with. We created a business case for diversity and inclusion, like a resource for our members to leverage. And it has 10 reasons, at least our 10 reasons, there's probably more than 10, but why we think it's critical to focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it links to research that supports it. It links to success stories of other firms who can show how it shows in action. And I mean, I think the bottom line is just that firms, companies, organizations, whatever you are, that has team members with diverse backgrounds, they bring diverse solutions, right? And to the table. And that means that, you know, there's more informed decision-making processes and improved results and, I mean, revenue, all that ties into diversity. And so you gotta do it.
So it's not just, you know, a case of it being the right thing to do, but there's a business case to be made for this.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, how would you, it seems as though a lot of times, and to your point, that people look at this as kind of a social or political issue. But what do you say to help people understand that this kind of impacts everybody everywhere, right? It's not just about one group of people it's about all of us.
Yep. So I sometimes try to explain this by explaining what DEI really means, and I keep saying DEI, I don't know if I ever called it out, diversity, equity, and inclusion, for those who may not know, but the acronym you always hear, DEI or D&I. But so diversity itself is bringing people of all backgrounds just into the room. That's the first step, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about the accounting profession, so I'll say bring them into the workplace. That's the diversity. That is important, that we have people of all backgrounds around us. This means ethnic background, age, gender, sexual orientation, disabilities, all the elements of diversity are important. So then there's the equity piece, which is about ensuring that all people have the same opportunities. And so the way I explain the equity piece is just a common example. And I think people have probably seen those equity versus equality charts that kind of explain what it is. But I'm 5'11", right? I know that's tall. Let's say you're 5'2". I'm sure you're not 5'2", but let's just, for example's sake, say you're 5'2". And the assignment is for each of us to touch the top of this 6-foot fence, right? And so I'm at advantage already just because I just happen to be 5'11". I can just walk up and probably touch the top of the fence. Mm-hmm. But providing you with an equitable opportunity for you to also succeed is having a ladder nearby that you can use, right? Mm-hmm. That means equity is the piece where everyone is provided with the tools they need to succeed at your organization, no matter what their background is or what they have, the things that they cannot control, right? Mm-hmm. So that should be a given for everyone. And so, and then there's the inclusion piece, which is giving everybody a seat at the table, right? Everybody needs to have, once you get them in, they now need a voice. They now need to feel like they are valued and contributing to the whole environment. Just having them there and not engaging them isn't helpful. And so I think when we achieve all these three things together, the workforce and the work environment thrives. And as a result, the organization thrives. Mm. So it's just kind of like a whole ecosystem of things that I think is just, I mean, everyone deserves this. Everyone deserves this. And it's equally important for everyone. And it's the environment. I mean, everyone wants to be in an environment where it's fair and we're all respected. And that's just period.
Yeah. And you know, the old kind of stereotype about the accounting profession is that it's an old white man's profession, right? Everyone kind of thinks of it in that way, but I mean, how far have we come? I mean, where do we stand now? Have we made any progress in kind of addressing this in our profession?
Yes. So we have the AICPA publishes this report. We call it our trends report, but it's a biannual report, and it identifies key trends in U.S. accounting enrollments and graduations, as well as hiring of new graduates into the public accounting sector.
Okay.
It is just public accounting, but it's some measurement of what we have. And so they've been doing this, or I say they, meaning the team, because I don't do it, has been publishing it since 1971. And our latest 2019 report does, when you look at the ethnic diversity of the areas that I just mentioned, there has been growth. It's minimal growth. But our enrollees and our graduates into the accounting profession, it's typically right now it hovers around 60% white, 40% non-white.
Okay.
And that is, there are years prior where it's been lower. So it is a growth. It is, and we're not declining. We haven't been declining. So it's, I know we don't feel like it's growth, but there is slight growth there. And so I will also say though that the hires into the firms has remained pretty consistent around the last few years, around 70% white, 30% non-white. This is for our results in this report. And so that too has been pretty consistent, hasn't dropped. And then the same survey shows that about 16% of CPAs are non-white or an ethnic minority. So
okay.
There is slight growth, like I said, and not a decline, which can be celebrated, but I think it's very safe to say that we have a long way to go and that we collectively need to ramp up our efforts. I know a lot of us feel like we're doing a lot and the numbers are hardly moving, but that means we need more reach. We need more scalability. We need to do more. So,
I think you alluded to it a couple of moments ago as well, but just in general, demographics of, you know, the new generations of young professionals coming into the workforce, just kind of point us in a direction where the future looks a whole lot more diverse than the past,
Absolutely.
Right? Does that
Yep.
kind of, Does that apply to our profession as well? Does that give you some hope in terms of where we're going here?
Absolutely. I was on a call or a session the other day, and yesterday, I think it was, actually the other day, and they were talking about how they don't like to use the word minority anymore because it's going to be different. And people need to start getting used to it, that we're going to be the majority soon. And so I think that's just the way it is. Even I was telling someone about my sons. I told you I have two sons, and they don't even look at color. They had their group of friends at school, and I asked one of my sons, they were a bunch of them. They were all different races standing in a circle talking. And I said, you know, I can't remember the kid's name, but I said, you know, which one is Josh and whichever. And he's like, the one in the yellow shirt. Hmm. Like, I thought he was going to say, like, you know, the Asian kid or the Black kid or the white kid, but he didn't even think to look at race. And so it was just like, so refreshing to see
amazing,
that these young people don't even go there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Love that. Well, I mean, give me an idea of what, you know, each of us, I guess, as individuals can do to kind of move the needle in this way, in this profession, right? First steps. How do I, Bill Sheridan, help yep. make our profession more diverse and inclusive?
So this is an excellent question. I love this question because I personally think that we need a nationwide awareness campaign that goes back into high schools. That's my, if I can leave, or I'm not planning to leave the ICPA, but if ever I leave, I want that to be one of the one things that I was able to accomplish, because I think it all starts and it starts at the very early ages. And actually, if you ask Kimberly Ellison Taylor, who I mentioned before as our chair, mm-hmm. she will even say, we need to go back to elementary school. Mm-hmm. She wants us to go. She always says that she learned about accounting when she was in third grade, and that's when she decided that she wanted to do it. So I don't know that all of us will learn that early, because my third grader, fifth grader, I just tried to ask him, they have a career day coming up, and I was like, do you want to dress up as an accountant? And he's like, yeah, no, I'll be a basketball player. So, still working on him though, but
a heavy lift at that age, right?
Right. But our research shows that, you know, no matter what background you have, students who enter accounting did so because they either knew someone who was an accountant or they had an accounting class in high school. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't know an accountant, which is likely the case for a lot of our minority students, or if your school doesn't have an accounting class, which again, that might be the case. That's actually the case for a lot of high schools. Right. They don't have an accounting class. You just never even hear about the career. It doesn't cross your path until you get to college, and that's too late. And so, and then there's that coupled with, there's just a lot of confusion around what a accounting career even really involves. Like, I still have people coming to me saying, can you help me with this tax issue or whatever? And I'm like, you know me, I was an auditor. I don't do taxes. Why do you keep asking me about taxes? I'm like, tax is a great option, but accounting goes way beyond taxes. And so I think it's all that needs to happen. And I think getting actual accountants who are working in the field, doing different areas of expertise in it, going back into the schools and just sharing what that looks like and what opportunities exist. And not even just going to the affluent schools, go to all schools, go to those areas where there are all the, you know, students of color are and those kind of things, so that everyone has that access I was telling you about, equal access to all the information in this career, so that they can realize that this is a viable option for them.
Yeah.
And so that's my one thing that I would say. The other thing that I always tell people about is mentor. Or if you have a position of power in your organization where you can sponsor someone diverse, do that. That is one of the key things that minorities in this profession need. A lot of them, and any element of diversity that I mentioned, that works. I'm a member of the National Association of Black Accountants, and they have this motto that I love, and I apply it all throughout this accounting profession is lift as we climb, right? You need to bring someone along with you on this journey, guide them, nurture them, help them understand how to navigate a career. I mean, over the last couple of months, we've been doing programs with young professionals. We did one with our young professionals. And just last week, we had our Accounting Scholars Leadership Workshop with students. And basically what it is to give them tools to navigate the career in this profession. Like, how do you, you know, what do you need to do? Who do you need to connect with? What tools would be helpful for you? We had, for our young professionals, we had courses on mental health. Like, being the only one in this profession in a room can be hard. Not knowing how to navigate it. And then the stresses of life outside. I think a lot of minorities in the accounting profession had a lot of burden on them with all that happened in 2020, like you mentioned. So how do you deal with that all while you're trying to navigate your career? I mean, it's just a lot. And so we had this program and it just kind of helped them. And it actually, a lot of them just needed support. It was like they didn't know who to go to, and they didn't see anybody like them who they could relate to. And so we provided that for them, and it was so well received. I mean, we got emails saying, or feedback saying, I thought I was the only one who was experiencing this because they didn't see anyone around them. So it's those kind of tools to help, you know, steer people through the career and know that they have support and change that dynamic, because eventually we need all those people to stay in the profession. They can't keep leaving. Like, we need that one person in that room to then be two and three and so on, so that we can change the dynamic. And I think having professionals sharing their knowledge and encouraging them is the way to change that.
We're moving certainly in that direction. It seems like this whole discussion about diversity and equity and inclusion, it's not a fringe thing anymore. It's really becoming, you know, woven into the fabric of who we are as a profession now. So,
absolutely. We have to.
I'm sorry.
We have to, or it's not going to change.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So where do people go? You were talking about some of the resources that you've got for members to kind of help them along their journey. Where should people go to find more information or resources or solutions or just insights that can help them down this path?
Yes. Our website is www.aicpa.org/diversity. I kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, but we focus our efforts in four primary areas: ethnic minorities, LGBTQ+, women, and young members or early career professionals. And then they all intersect. We layer in disabilities within all those as well. And we have on our website, you'll see that we have team members listed there who can help provide support in any of those areas. We have all kinds of webcasts, resources, everything's on that site. So you can check it out. If you have any questions, reach out to us. We're happy to help guide you. But I do tell people, when you're starting to look for resources, maybe just start with us first. Only because we have a lot of free tools that you can leverage. And it may not be all that you need, but at least it can help get you started for free while you figure out where you need to go and those kind of things.
So. Yeah. Well, that's great. Crystal Cook, thank you so much for your time, for your insights, and keep doing this important work. We need it. Thank you for
being here. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Great stuff there. That was my conversation with Crystal Cook, Director of Diversity and Inclusion for the American Institute of CPAs. You can learn more at aicpa.org/diversity. Also, the Maryland Association of CPAs Foundation is doing some really impressive work in this area. The foundation and its board, they're working to build a strong and diverse talent pipeline with resources for future CPAs and for educators. They also support diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. They provide training, grant scholarships, facilitate mentorship connections in order to increase growth and engagement. So, you know, if you want to make a difference right now, making a donation to the MACPA Foundation is a great, great place to start. Sincerely, this is important work. So find out more at macpa.org/foundation. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge, along with a strategic skill set. But we're talking here about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's all I got, gang. Have a great week. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you soon.